To begin our program today, a new study out this week finds Michigan has one of the highest parental incarceration rates in the country. The report by the Annie E. Casey Foundation reveals fully 10% of all Michigan children have at least one parent behind bars. That's the third highest rate in the nation. The report revealed that from 2011 to 2012, just over 5 million children in the United States had a parent in prison. Officials say this is a conservative estimate, in part because it does not account for kids whose fathers were sentenced to prison before they were born. Family advocates, including our next guest, say the emotional and economic impacts to families and children are huge. Joining me now to talk about the issue, Alicia Guevara-Warren, the Kids Count Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Alicia, welcome back.
Thank you.
As we said, Michigan's parental incarceration rate, one of the highest in the country. How many individual kids roughly are affected by this?
So in Michigan, we have about 228,000 kids whose parent who's been incarcerated at some point in their lifetime. This is, you know, the fifth highest in the country behind states like California and Texas and Florida and Ohio.
And other states with bigger populations than Michigan, California and Texas come to mind, have proportionately lower parental incarceration rates than we do. Is it known why?
You know, I think when we look at the over-reliance as a nation, right, we've over-relied on the use of mass incarceration as a way to deal with crime. And what studies have shown based on, you know, the average length of sentences is that Michigan tends to incarcerate people for longer periods of time. We know that, you know, just generally the mass incarceration and this tough on crime movement has really had an impact on the kids and families and communities that they were left behind in.
More so in Michigan than in other states, though.
Yes.
And is the excessively long sentences, is that the heart of the issue? Or do we also tend to send people to prison who arguably don't belong there in the first place?
I think we can say that we're sending more parents to prison based on the data and these numbers, because we have more kids who have been impacted by this. So we are sending more people to prison as well.
We'll get into some of the options. The Casey Foundation makes some recommendations, I should say. We'll get into some of those options involving prison sentencing and reforms along those lines in just a minute. There is obviously a great potential for emotional trauma attached to a parent going to prison. In fact, this report from the Casey Foundation is called A Shared Sentence. What psychological effects does the report say that we see in children of incarcerated parents?
Well, losing a parent to incarceration can be very traumatic for kids. We're talking about a life event to the same magnitude as abuse or domestic violence. It has that much of an impact on these kids' emotional state. We see increased anxiety and depression in kids, particularly those who have lost their mother. You know, here in Michigan, since 2011, we've seen a 16% increase in the population of women sent to prison. So we've seen a surge in, you know, the number of mothers who are incarcerated. So what we see is with that increased anxiety and depression, these kids also have issues with school, you know, and those outcomes because they are really stressed emotionally at home.
Not surprisingly, there are economic impacts to explore here as well. What happens when the parent who's sent to prison was the primary breadwinner?
So what we know is that when fathers are the person who becomes incarcerated, family income drops by about 22%, and many families report being unable to meet those basic necessities like food, paying their utilities, paying rent, paying for medical care. So what we do know as well is there's research that shows that had the incarceration rates not increased so significantly in the United States, that the poverty rate would have actually fallen by 20%. Rather than staying, you know, pretty steady over the last 24 years. So there are clearly, you know, those financial burdens that are put on, you know, the single moms who are then left behind if dad is the one who becomes incarcerated. But if it's mom, then, you know, a lot of that care then shifts to grandparents as well or other family members, extended family to provide that, you know, financial and emotional support that these kids need.
We're talking about a new report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation that finds Michigan has the third highest rate of parental incarceration in the country. Some 228,000 children, or 10% of kids in Michigan have at least one parent behind bars. Joining me in the studio today is Alicia Guevara Warren. She's the Kids Count Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Let's clear up a detail here. I've been saying the third. Is it the third?
We're tied for third in the country with a number of other states when it comes to the third highest rate.
Okay.
Yes.
Do state or local governments, county governments, anybody address the issue of parental incarceration in any direct way?
I think that there are a number of promising practices on the grounds. You know, we have groups like Motherly Intercessions who work with mothers who are incarcerated. That's in Flint, Michigan. We also have a number of programs in Detroit on the ground. So we do have these community agencies that are
Those are local efforts?
Yes. Yep. That are, you know, there are some state funds and federal funds there, you know, for these programs. But I think what we see is, you know, a couple of different things is that, you know, our criminal justice system may not necessarily be talking to some of these agencies. So it's really hard to track the kids who might be impacted by the issue of incarceration. There is a lot of stigma around incarceration, and they may not be, you know, so forthcoming with the issue unless they are asked about it. You know, if you think about kids who might be in some sort of preschool or early childhood program that might be experiencing this, we know that national data show that about 15% of the kids who are impacted by this issue are under the age of four. So we're talking about very young kids. So if our systems aren't talking to each other, then it becomes even harder to identify those kids and provide those services.
Would you say a more vigorous outreach effort is required here?
Absolutely.
That seems to be where you're going.
I think that's very much part of the problem, is really, you know, raising awareness about the issue, making sure that our systems are talking to one another, but also building the capacity of these programs and expanding them to ensure that we are meeting the needs of these children.
Well, if the issue becomes poverty, though, for example, not getting enough food on the table, et cetera, I take it families have some access to existing programs like food stamps, WIC maybe, if they're truly deserving. What role do those play? Is that an option?
Absolutely. You know, we want to make sure that they are accessing these types of programs that they need, the types of assistance. Part of that is, you know, can our criminal justice system also think about the families impacted and help to facilitate access to these systems that can provide that financial assistance?
Is it known how the children of incarcerated parents tend to turn out themselves? Are they more likely to get in trouble with the law themselves at some point?
You know, clearly we know that there are a lot of mental health issues that occur in these children because it's such a traumatic experience losing their parent. They may go for a prolonged period of time without having that relationship with their mother or their father, which clearly has an impact on their well-being. And so with, you know, increased anxiety, increased depression, we see decreased, you know, educational outcomes. So, of course, their well-being is definitely jeopardized. We also know, based on national and state research on adverse childhood experiences, that having a parent incarcerated as a child is something that carries long into your well-being as an adult. So it's a very traumatic experience that can definitely have some impacts on your well-being.
Prison reform's been an issue in this state, pretty hot issue here the last few years, and there have been legislative efforts to reduce prison costs. Clearly the costs are through the roof, and sentencing reforms have been a part of that discussion. You seem to be suggesting that prison sentencing reform would absolutely help to address this problem. What kind of reforms need to be addressed here?
So I think absolutely. So if we want to reduce the number of children who are impacted by having a parent incarcerated, we need to really reduce our over-reliance on incarceration, especially with nonviolent offenders. So we have a number of bills. This week, we're hoping to see some movement around the Raise the Age package, where we have been one of nine states in the country who have put our 17-year-olds into adult prison. So we're talking about 17-year-old children, treating them as adults rather than giving them the type of juvenile justice services that they would be more they would be better rehabilitated because they're still young, their brains are still developing. And so ensuring that we are removing our 17-year-olds from our adult systems is one of the ways to reduce the incarceration. We know that programming in the community is actually more helpful for these young children rather than sticking them into an adult prison. Other areas that we look at, you know, there is a package of presumptive parole bills before the legislature as well, which would really, what we see in Michigan is not only do we have, you know, longer than average sentences, but we also have, you know, a number of parole eligible offenders who have served well beyond their minimum sentence and don't necessarily pose a risk to public safety. So these bills would actually help to facilitate that that parole eligibility for these offenders.
What about efforts to reunify families once the parent is out of prison?
You know, I think that it doesn't need to occur. It needs to also occur while the parent is incarcerated. So we need to be thinking about how we can ensure that that relationship is maintained. I think oftentimes what we see is that, you know, during sentencing or prison location decisions, parents and families are, you know, really put in a long distance from where they live, and so it makes visitations with that parent a little bit more difficult. So there are some programs that are offered in some of our state corrections facilities to help with parenting skills and such, to really help that parent once they return back to their family, that they're able to reestablish that bond and that relationship with their child in a healthy way. So helping, you know, maintain that relationship while the parent is incarcerated, but like you said, also ensuring that there are some support services and transitional services given to these families once the parent is back in the home to really improve that that relationship. And
we'll remind our listeners that there are recommendations that come with the Casey Foundation report. But before we run out of time, I want to ask this. Sentencing reform often leads to concerns from law enforcement, from prosecuting attorneys, from county sheriffs, from attorneys general, et cetera, that there is a risk of letting a dangerous person back into society too soon. That is part of the cost-benefit analysis here, if you will. They would argue that someone who genuinely belongs in prison may be getting out too early or may be getting off too lightly. What do you make of those cautionary arguments?
I mean, it's definitely something to consider anytime we're talking about criminal justice reform. But I think if we are providing the type of reentry services and that help that somebody needs when they're incarcerated to ensure that they are successful once they are returning into their communities, that they are still connected to the right services and such, that we should really be thinking about how we can reduce incarceration.
What's your read on the legislature right now? Are you more confident? Are you less confident in terms of reforms here in the near future as to what you're trying to address here?
You know, I think that there has been a lot of energy around reducing the cost of, you know, corrections and bipartisan support around a number of measures. So I am, you know, cautiously optimistic that we are going to see some movement around this. I think that, you know, bringing in, you know, organizations like the Council of State Governments, which other states have done as well, to really reexamine how we can safely reduce our reliance on incarceration is really important.
There seems to be in recent years a growing consensus that the system could definitely use some alterations. I think everybody's pretty much picked up on that, and the costs, of course, really drive it home. The prison system in Michigan is exorbitantly expensive. We've been talking about Michigan's high rate of parental incarceration. About 228,000 kids, 10% of kids in this state, have at least one parent behind bars. A new report offers some recommendations for reducing this figure. Alicia Guevara-Warren's been our guest. She is Kids Count Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Thanks, Alicia.
Thank you.